And I want to try to take you back 2,000 years plus. It was around this time that we call Palm Sunday, the Sunday prior to the crucifixion, the resurrection. It was this time that the Lord Jesus came into Jerusalem riding on the back of a donkey, and the crowds cried, "Hosanna, Hosanna." And they looked at him, they said, "Here's our king." But just in a few short days, he was not proclaimed as their king. In fact, they said, "We have no king but Caesar." And the cry came, "Crucify him, crucify him." We stand before you today as we have the Lord's table prepared. And we will observe that in just a little bit. But I want you to understand the background, and also I want you to search your heart today. Look in Matthew chapter 26 for just a minute, and then over in 1 Corinthians chapter 11. In Matthew chapter 26, I'll not read the entire chapter to you, but the Bible said in verse number 1, "It came to pass when Jesus had finished all these things that he said to his disciples, 'You know that after 2 days is the feast of the Passover, and the Son of Man is betrayed to be crucified.'" They did not understand that. They did not understand what he was going to have to go through for you and for me. As Rita sang that song, had it not been for a place called Calvary, had it not been for a man called Jesus, we'd all be condemned. She came to me this morning, she said, "Preacher, I have a song. If it'd be all right to sing," I said, "It'd be fine." You see, I believe this. I believe that God in his mercy has orchestrated this day, and God in his grace has brought you here this day, this cold, rainy day, for a reason. You say, "Preacher, it's just another Sunday." That's our problem. It's not just another day. It's God's day, and he's here. And in Matthew 26, I want you to see one thing here, is the Bible said that in verse number 6, Jesus was in Bethany, the house of Simon the leper. This would be one of the last stops he made. And in walked, the Bible said in verse 7, there came that woman with an alabaster box, very precious ointment, and poured it on his head as he sat at meat. She broke the alabaster box. This box that was full of precious ointment, but could have been sold for a great sum of money. But yet she recognized that Jesus was in her presence. And she took that precious box and broke it over his head, and it ran down his face and ran down into his beard and ran down his hair, and the odor perfumed that place. My friend, can I tell you something? We need to break the alabaster box. We need to just worship God in spirit and truth. I mean, Fred, praise God, when he shows up, then we need to move out of the way. Break the alabaster box. I believe that's a symbol of true worshiping the Lord Jesus, and say, "All praise and all glory go to you, because you did it all. You went to Calvary for me. He died for me." Do you understand that? I mean, listen, as an 11-year-old boy, and Brother Tom Boland's a good friend of mine, and Brother Tom's life is so different than mine, and I'm not trying to glorify him. I'm not trying to put any praise on me. Brother Tom grew up rough. He grew up in bars, and he could tell you stories that he wouldn't want to tell you. But his life and mine was so different. But he said, "Brother Frank, when you come to our church, would you tell our folk, would you tell our young people, you don't have to go down that road. You don't have to go out and sin to have a testimony for God. God can use you. Break the alabaster box. Let the ointment flow down and praise the Lord for what he's done in your life." But here in Matthew chapter 26, here's why I want to give you a thought, and I'm not going to preach them very long. But notice in Matthew 26 and verse 26, the Bible said, and they were eating. The 12 had gathered in the upper room. Judas now in verse number 25, he had betrayed him. Jesus said, it'd be the one that had supped with me, put the bread in the same bowl with me. Judas looked over at him and said, is it I? And Jesus said, you know who it is. And he said, do quickly what thou art going to do. Judas got up and left the room. And the Bible said in verse number 26, as they were eating, Jesus took the bread. There's a piece laying down here, just a piece of loaf of bread. But Jesus took bread. And I believe he began to crumble that bread. And I believe those disciples looked over and they would say, what in the world is he doing? Why would he destroy this piece of bread? Why would he break it and crumble it and the crumbs fall? Why would he do that? And Jesus took that bread and he broke it and he looked at them and he said, here's a picture. This is my body. This is my body that just in a few hours will be broken for you. This is my body that'll go to the Pilate's whipping post and have the cat of nine tails laid against my back. This is for you. It's for you, Josh. It's for you, Keith. It's for you. It's for you. And he looked at him and he said, this is my body which is given for you. And he said there, and he broke it and he gave to him. And they took of that bread and they ate it. And he said, remember, this is my body. Now, can I tell you, as we're talking about these little wafers up here, right here, and this Welch's grape juice, this juice right here, cannot save you. It will not save you. Listen, you may not be a Baptist. We don't practice close communion. That means, listen, if you're not a member of this church, that's all right. I wish you would be. Hallelujah. Join it. Amen. But we don't practice communion. That means if you're bought by the blood, if you've been saved by Jesus, you can partake of this. Amen. But he said that bread on my body. When that Catholic priest walks by and he takes that wafer, and if you ever notice, if you ever watch a Catholic mass, they'll have an altar boy that comes around with a little paddle and they'll stick it underneath the chin of that person, and that priest prays over that wafer, and they believe that that literally becomes the body of Jesus, literally, and they give him that wafer, and that priest prays over it, and that person eats it, and they believe that they, by doing so, they're going to go to heaven. Can I tell you something? You could eat that whole thing full, and you still would die and go to hell. You could drink all that juice right yonder, and you'd still die and go to hell. It's not the, he said, it's a symbol of what I'm going to do for you. My body's going to be broken for you. My body's going to be lacerated for you. They're going to stick a spear in my side. Blood and water's going to come out. They're going to drive nails in my hand. I'm going to be lifted up for you. My body's going to go through torture for you. For you. For you. For you, Brother James. For you, Frank. For me. And notice what he said. Now, he reads on and he said, hey, not only just the body, but the blood. Thank God for the blood. Thank God for the blood. And friend, you might say, that's grape juice. That is grape juice. My friend, that has no power to save you. But thank God there's a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins, and sinners, every sinner can plunge beneath that flood and lose all their guilty stains. Everything you've ever done can be washed away in Calvary's blood. Every sin that you've ever committed, every lie you've ever told, every time you've cheated, every time you've done something wrong, thank God the blood has the power to cleanse. Watch what he says. This is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. And he said, but I'll not eat it or drink it with you until that day that we sit down in my Father's kingdom. Thank God. I'm looking for that eternal kingdom, but I'm looking for that 1,000-year reign of Christ. When the Lord Jesus is coming back, he's going to bring with him the angels of heaven. Thank God, he's coming in righteousness. He's coming in power. He's going to sit on the throne of David. He's going to reign for 1,000 years, and peace will be on this earth. Never will be until that time comes. There'll be people like that old Kim Fu Young or Shing Shai Shek, whatever that fellow over in Korea, Egg Fu Young. There'll be somebody like that always threatening to mash the button and send a bomb off. There'll be unrest in the Middle East. But when Jesus comes, thank God, he'll reign for 1,000 years. The lamb will lay down with the lion. There'll not be any hurt. There'll not be any sorrow, no pain, nor death, nor dying for 1,000 years down here on this earth. What a blessing that'll be. Now here's what I want you to see. In 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Lord, we're trying to be led of you. Paul said this. There's only two things that the New Testament church has been instructed to observe. One is baptism. And I say this, I hadn't planned on it from the pulpit. Those of you that got saved last Sunday, thank God for you. Next thing you need to do, you need to come and say, I want to get baptized. I mean, listen, you say, I got baptized way back yonder. It didn't mean anything. If you got saved last Sunday, then thank God if you did, then you ought to say, I want to follow the Lord and I want to go. Listen, we're not going to do it today. Hallelujah. It's too cold. But we will. But you ought to say, I want to follow the Lord in baptism. Now watch it. The only other thing that the church is supposed to do is observe the Lord's table. What we're going to do this morning. Now watch it. Now here's what Paul said. 1 Corinthians chapter 11. And Paul recounts what Jesus did. And he goes on to say in verse 23. That the Lord Jesus, the same night which he was betrayed, he took bread. Went and gave thanks. He broke it. Said, take, eat. This is my body which is broken for you. And do in remembrance of me. Same manner he took the cup. And when he had supped, saying, this is the cup of the New Testament in my blood. He said, as often you do this in remembrance of me. For he said in verse 26, for as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he come. Thank God, this might be the last time we have the Lord's table. We might be eating it with him next time. We might be fellowshipping with him next time. We might be drinking from the vine next time with him. What a blessing. But now watch something. Here in Corinth, hear me out before we go any further. There were some folks in that church. They wasn't living for God. Their life wasn't right with God. And some of them, the Bible said, were sick and sickly. And some of them, God even called them home prematurely. I don't know what's in your life today, but I know this. There's a God in heaven that loves you regardless of what you've done or what you hadn't done. You may not have even cracked your Bible open this week. God still loves you. You may not have been the best Christian this week, but God loves you. It may have been a while since you've enjoyed the fellowship of God and the presence of God. He still loves you regardless. Hey, it's time to get right with God today. Before you eat this bread and drink this grape juice, before you do that, he said, if you do that, you know what you're saying? I've got fellowship with God. And he said, don't you do it. Don't you do it if you don't have fellowship with God. If there's something right now the Holy Ghost of God putting his finger on in your life, if right now the Holy Ghost of God has just pulled your heart back and you're sitting there and you said, oh, let me get out of here a few more minutes, I'll get out of here later, honey, I got news for you. The Holy Ghost of God, when he gets on your trail, when he starts to rest your soul, when he begins to move on your heart, you can't do nothing else but say, yes, Lord. Amen. He'll do it every time.